And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I would pay money for you guys to fly a plane together.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite show in the whole wide world. Part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I know we do this every week, and it's not because they're an advertising partner, but there's an amazing Charlie Blackman, Bob Ross tribute cards.
Are you serious? Charlie Blackman from the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah,
Charlie
go,
Blackman?
Just go to Topps.com and click on the Project 70 thing.
Yesterday, I traded for him in the Dynasty League.
Can I introduce you first?
Yes, sorry about that. Go ahead.
For my friend of yours, Ian Kahn.
Hello, my friends. Traded for Charlie Blackman yesterday with Rabbi Ari Sunshine. There you go. It all comes full circle.
Rabbi Ari Sunshine's friend and yours, Eric Rabbi.
I look forward to one day meeting the rabbi and possibly competing against him in a fantasy league.
He's a good player. Good player. Really good.
Let's get to it. Ian's a great player. How many titles have you won?
I don't even know. All it's right. Not about that. Who? nobody cares.
Hey, in question.
Sure, sir.
When's the next Dynasty set of ranks coming out? After the trade deadline?
No, they'll be coming out in the next couple of days.
Oh, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, actually, I was going to make that mention now. Sorry about that, bro. Yeah, I probably should have mentioned that. Yeah, no, what happened was I got to it last week and I was like, I got to do these rankings. And then, so I've been working on them and I got a little help along the way, get some extra pair of eyes and stuff. Big help from Robert Mershak. but yeah, no, it's kind of interesting and kind of exciting. I could do a little, give you a little sneak preview if you wanted on people.
Yeah, I would love that. Actually, I don't know if the DVR likes it. I don't know how he feels.
But I did try to correct spelling errors.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Seriously. So, like, I was like, wait, Matt Olson is with an O. I have this problem.
I know where your pain points are now, though, after editing, like, the last few.
You don't even edit them. You don't even catch them. Can't say you edit them.
Well, no. The first time I trusted you to spell player names right. Like, that's like.
Yeah, you probably should.
My bad.
Yeah.
So after people started correcting in the comments, I'm like, let me take another look at this
correcting.
Thing.
Like, seriously, dude, we're supposed to take your advice. You don't even know how to spell Olson.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I spell Olson O-L. I have been. Same with Glenn Colton. I spell Colton C-O-L-T-E-N, but it's C-O-L-T-O-N. And Olson O-L-S-E-N, but it's O-L-S-O-N. I think it's like a blind spot for me.
It's fine. That's what we're here for, as your editorial
you.
Saviors.
It. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah,
I got to move guys around. Like, every day you could move them around. Every single day, things change.
Are you going to have the newly drafted players on there?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. So, Scoresheet supplemental draft is up in a few days.
Okay.
And my team is terrible, as is tradition. But I have the fourth pick.
Okay.
I assume that the dude the Mets got, Kumar Rocker, is going to go first. Like, just
no.
The buzz based, like, around.
Nope.
Really?
He will not. No,
he shouldn't.
He's not going to go first.
All right.
No, he won't go first. He won't even be the first pitcher.
You don't think so?
No, it's got to be Jack Leiter. Jack Leiter's better.
All right.
I mean, Kumar Rocker, I'm actually higher on Kumar Rocker than most people, but I'm really high on Jack Leiter. But I don't think that's, well, at four, that's who you might be talking about. But what, yeah, I mean, you're thinking about who the guys should be?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, at four, is there someone like Blue Chippy I can get, or should I trade that? Because right now I got...
Yeah, there's decent. There's very good. Four is fine.
Yeah, four is really good because I think
four is
you'd have
pretty good.
Mayer, your choice of basically Mayer, Lawler, like one of those guys should be there. Watson, because I would assume
like Watson,
like Leiter's probably gone, but like one of those four guys has to be there.
Depends. I'm not sure about Scoresheet though. I mean, is Scoresheet what is the format? Is it two catcher leagues or one catcher league?
This is a.
It's a sim.
24.
So like you need one of everything, but then you need like a regular bench and you can mix and match, and defense matters a lot too. So even like if Henry Davis stays behind the plate, which I think most people think he stays. His arm is fantastic. He's probably at least an average defensive catcher. Like, that could be pretty big in score sheet, but...
Yeah, he's a pretty bad defensive catcher in receiving, but that's not going to matter by the time he comes up because they're going to be robo-umps based on what happened to Fulton Amos this weekend. Oh, my God.
Wow. All right, so thanks for the help with the score sheet. Go ahead. Yeah, King of all segues. Go ahead.
No. I'm staying in.
No, I think four is a really good spot. You're going to get a really nice player.
Yeah, four is a great spot. Don't trade from four, and don't trade up to one.
Should I order my top five? How about that?
Okay. Score sheet league, it's different.
Don't worry about score sheet. If you're a good pitcher, you're amazing, and if you can hit an OBP, then you're fine.
Hitting an OBP, but how soon do they come up? It's going to be a while till they come up. How far away are you from competing? That matters a little bit. Like, if you're on the verge of competing, Jack Leiter I like a lot. Max Mayer, I think Max Mayer goes one. I think, well, let's put it this way. If it were fantasy baseball first-year player draft right now, you got to put Maxwell Mayer one.
All right.
He's got to go one. I would actually go, I think I would go Leiter two, but that's me. And I don't usually go pitchers, but something about this kid, I just really like him. And then maybe Davis three. He's like a poor man, Spencer Torkelson, and then Khalil Watson four. Kind of like that. I'm not a huge Jordan Lawler guy. Like, and I know other people are, people who I really like him a lot, but you know, I like that he went to Arizona. It's a good spot for him. I can see him being the shortstop there for a long time. He's going to be a really good player. But for fantasy, don't know. That's how I would do my top four, at least right now. I would go Mayer, Leiter, Davis, Watson. DVR, what would you do?
I'd go Mayer, then I'd go Watson two.
Woo!
Because unless you're in the situation you described where Leiter's going to be pitching for you right away and you're going to be good right away, I think you want the better long-term player, the safer, air quotes, long-term player. And a guy that stays up the middle with tools like that, I mean, that's a huge difference maker. So I'd go Mayer, Watson, Leiter, and I think I'd go Lawler fourth out of that bunch.
You go Lawler ahead of Davis?
I think I'd go Lawler over Davis for score sheet, especially.
Especially if defense has something to do with it.
Yeah.
I could see that.
There is Lawler.
I still like Leiter, though. I don't know. There's something special about that guy to me. There's just something about, like, it's got a Ken Griffey Jr. feel to it, like, very similar. And it could be a ridiculous pitcher. But Rocker's not in your top four, probably. Love him at 10 for the Mets. Love him at 10.
I got Kevin Maitán at number three, and then I'm going back down to Khalil.
What?
I'm just kidding. No, Kevin Maitán.
Okay. I was like, you're talking about the... Kevin Maitán. Who's Kevin Maitán again? Is that the kid who was on the Braves and then...
Yeah, you don't remember him? You can Google and you can go on. Like, you cannot find a thing about what he's doing right now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
He had struggles. He had a lot of struggles. Like, that was weird.
There was weight involved, right?
He got really big. He's only played four games in 2021 at the CPX level, according to the Fangraphs designations. I think that would be a complex ball. I think that's what CPX stands for. He's only 21, but yeah, that...
You know, one guy who's in that sort of world, Jason Dominguez, has made his way to low A and is mashing. Mashing.
Let me ask you guys, Ian, I know you took a lot of time to put together this rundown, but I want to know, like, and I was thinking about this the other day, like a family in Staten Island, there were pictures of the Staten Island Yankees ballpark, like overgrown grass, not tended to. And it just got me thinking, like, with all these minor league teams gone, are we going to have to look at these? Like, I love looking at minor league numbers. You know, you can see how a guy progresses as he goes up, more home runs, keeps the good average, gets some steals. Are we going to have to kind of refocus the way we look at these or kind of just change just a little bit of the way we look at minor league stats? Because, you know, obviously the competition is going to be harder now with, you know, if you get rid of so many teams, you're getting rid of some lower end players, a bunch of them. Are we going to be looking at maybe not as impressive minor league numbers and like a kind of a new standard? Or no?
No, I don't think that's the issue. I think here's I think what is new and what people should be aware of. If there was ever a time to really dig into minor league numbers, this is the year to do it. Like, this is the year to find guys, because you're talking about a whole year last year where you really didn't pick up anybody on the minor league side of the ball during the season. I'm talking about dynasty leagues, right? But now this year, you know, you really, like, there's so many guys. There's a guy who I just heard about today. For the first time, from Imaginary Brick Wall, Michael Halpern. I've talked about him on the show before. And I actually, I subscribe to his Patreon. And he brought up Averson Arteaga, shortstop for the Giants, and who's just killing the ball in low A, 18 years old, good prospect, and is just going crazy right now. And I went to grab him in Devil's Rejects, and Brett Sarrett picked him up about 30 minutes before me, which was disappointing. But then grabbed him in my other Dynasty League. So that's a real under-the-radar name for this weekend for pickups. Averson, A-E-V-E-R-S-O-N, Arteaga, shortstop for the Giants. You know, imaginary brick wall Michael is saying that at this time next year, he could be a top 10 prospect. So, you know, that's serious stuff, you know. And there are a lot of guys this year that are popping up. So if you're in Dynasty Leagues, do the extra research. And, like, look at the prospect roundup every day. You know what I mean? Like, really see, because guys are going to pop up and they're going to be real ball players. So you got 2 years worth of guys to pick up in minor leagues this year is what I would say is the big difference. I think baseball is baseball. They're going to be guys who, you know, it's sad that there are less leagues, but less teams. But other than that, that's what I think. DVR, what do you think?
Well, I think the...
Oh, you spell Averson A-E-V-E-R?
Yeah, that's a tough spelling to pick up on at first, but...
Averson Arteaga. Go get him, guys.
Man, So my general thoughts about prospects right now, I put it into the column over the weekend. I didn't go in depth with how I feel about it. I just kind of put it out there as more of a... This is going to be a weird deadline because teams are increasingly reluctant to trade top 50 prospects, right? You look back the last 5 years, I think only like one or two have been dealt, depending on where you draw the cutoffs. Like Taylor Trammell, I think, is the only top 50 prospect who's been traded the last couple of years. This year is different because not having 2020 minor league stats breaks the models a bit, and teams scaled back on scouting. So some teams scaled back on scouting. So you don't have as much information. Teams do not have as much information. Some teams don't have as much information, which means they're going to make mistakes. They are going to let players go via trade that they shouldn't let go. And I think they're going to be guys that, because they were spending the first month, possibly the first 2 months of the minor league season, knocking the rust off, their overall numbers are not going to look good, right? I mean, think about it. The minor league season started a month later than the major league season. We know the impact of one bad month in the first half when it's a 3.5 month window. That impact is greater when we're talking about a 2.5 month window, which is what we're evaluating players on right now. So all that to say is I just think we're in an extremely fun and volatile time for prospect leagues, keeper and dynasty, pickups you can make, trades you can make. But I think we're actually going to look back at this trade deadline. We're going to see some names that move. We're not even going to be that excited about those names when we're analyzing them in a couple of weeks. And we're going to look back a year or two from now and say, whoa, I can't believe this team actually got this guy in that deal, which is not usually the case.
And there are specific teams. Right. And there are specific teams that are the best at this. The Dodgers, the Rays, those guys, those teams, and that's why their teams are so good. Like going back, Josiah Gray is getting picked up. Did you pick up Josiah Gray in a league in GDD the other day? DVR, somebody did.
I picked him up in Tout Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You picked him up in Tout Wars, right? That's where I saw it. I connected you to that. And Josiah Gray was traded for Yasiel Puig from the Reds. That was a really good trade by the Dodgers. And I think that that's the same for Dynasty League owners. Like, if you're willing to do the work, we talked about this, I guess, about a month ago, about how hard with Cushing. Whoosh, we talked about, like, how much time do you spend looking over the waiver wire? It is the waiver wire, everybody. It is the key to the whole darn game in Dynasty, in Redraft, in everything. Because the waiver wire, like, if you do that research and you figure it out and you say, you know what? I'm going to use this guy. I'm going to float this guy. I'm going to bring this guy. You make your team better. You can make your team better every single week. And that's what the Rays do. And that's what the Dodgers do. And that's why they're two of the best teams in baseball and will be for a long time. I mean, the Dodgers, they have a ridiculous farm system and they have the best team in baseball. Not the best, but they have one of the, they will be the best. I think they're going to win the World Series.
The Dodgers went and got a Yoshi Susugo and fixed him. And then he got hurt. Imagine if he didn't get hurt.
Well,
Dodgers don't have to go around doing that stuff, you know?
Dodgers are so good, man. I mean, the idea that they could get Pujols to come and just be like the old man sitting there playing 2 days a week against lefties and pinch hitting every day. I mean, I think for the Dodgers, he must be hitting over 350 because his average was like 210 and now it's up to like 248. Like they just everything they touch. I know they're not winning many games right now, but they'll be there at the end of the season. You don't want to face that team in the playoffs because, as far as I'm concerned, them, the Astros, and the Rays, and I think those are the class of the league right now. And the Red Sox, I guess. I mean,
freaking man, the Brewers pitching is nasty. Not to be a Brewers fanboy, but I keep hearing people talking about how they've got, you know, rest of the season projections with three Brewers in the top 10 between Woodruff and Burns and Peralta. You think about that in the postseason? That's actually nasty. Starting pitching that can lock down any offense in the league if they're going right. I mean, that's
really true, actually.
It's pretty exciting.
And then hand it off to that bullpen, too?
If Williams is healthy.
Yeah. In theory, yeah.
That's pretty good practice, too. Also, the freaking Red Sox got Marcelo Mayer. By the way, I called him Maxwell Mayer earlier. That's wrong. Marcelo Mayer. The Red Sox got him at 4. And there was a great article. Was it in The Athletic? Talking about the scouting of Marcelo Mayer. It was an awesome article that, like, this Red Sox scout had been scouting him for, like, 2 years and would drive 3 hours to every game of his, and then they ended up getting him. Like, ridiculous. He's going to be really good.
I don't think they even expected to be able to get him. I think just about every draft projection had him going somewhere in the top three. He could have went 1-1 to the Pirates, but I think the thing I didn't realize, the Tigers cut a deal with Jackson Jobe. And
is that why? Did they cut a deal with him?
Yeah, I was reading some of the stuff that Eric Longenhagen did over at Fangraphs, and that was the explanation that I needed. I was like, okay. Like, I'd heard that Jobe was the best right-handed high school pitcher in the class,
yes,
which is,
sure,
is fine, but those guys are so risky. And
yeah,
I mean,
I don't get
Mayer,
it.
He might be a star. Like, I was surprised that they didn't go a few different directions with that pick just because it was so early. And
I'd be curious to know what Paul Sporer felt once he saw Marcelo Mayer not get picked, because all the hubbub was that Marcelo Mayer, like, the Tigers were just praying for Mayer to show up, but then it really looked like Pittsburgh was going to take him. I mean, it was a bit of a surprise. But then Pittsburgh did, I think we talked about it last week, Pittsburgh did a remarkable job getting guys and getting Davis under slot so they could get Bubba Chandler and they could get Mazzucato. I mean, they really did a fine job.
This has turned into a Rates and Barrels show. Look at us.
Nah. Not really. No, because we're talking about college. This is something I think that baseball is screwed up, and hopefully they're figuring out a way to fix it. Like, the NBA draft is awesome. The NFL draft is awesome. It, like, overtakes people's, you know, the NFL draft is, like, one of the biggest times of the year. It's always around my birthday, April 21st, 22nd, is tends to be when it is. And baseball never has done this, and they're missing out, because you can make these kids into stars right now. Khalil Watson falling to 16 to the Marlins makes no sense. He's going to be a star, that kid. He's going to be great.
I think they're getting there, aren't they? They're getting there.
Nah, they're not.
Look, like, All-Star Weekend, I think, gives it a higher
profile. I'm calling
profile.
Him Maxwell Mayer, dude. How you know what I mean?
Well, but I mean, as far as I knew, that was just a nickname that I missed somewhere along the way.
No, but that's
the
point.
Marcello, he must go by Max. That makes sense.
Marcello. Yeah. Marcello.
Hey, Marcello Mayer.
Marcello Mayer. Michael Pellucci. All of my old friends.
Man, you should get back into acting and do...
I am, like, working on an Ariel Cohen talking with Christopher Walken, which I could show you guys after the show.
No, yeah. Why don't you just do it during the show? What's wrong with doing it?
It's too long.
Keep tarp
long.
On that one
no,
for
no
the week.
No such thing. Yeah, come man. On.
No.
By the way,
no,
Ian Khan no. swore in front of my 2-year-old and I guess my 7-week-old.
I did. It's true.
And all she said on the rest of the car ride was the F word.
You're lying. She did not. don't believe that. That's some East Coast lying for you. I could tell that you were like, oh no, did he really? No.
Yeah.
No.
By the way, I think this is a compliment to, and I don't mean to be, you know, like, man, I want to say so many bad words, but I know DVR's got to edit them out. I don't want to be frothing all over you, but my wife paid a compliment. She'd never heard you talk before in real life. And she's like, wow, I can't believe he does that George Washington voice and he sounds like that in real life. How about that?
Hey, how about that? I'm more impressed with the R.L. Cohen voice. I do have far too much fun doing that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Oh man, I hope people are still listening. Are you still listening? We're about to talk
Yankees
about Derek Hill.
Are we just gonna skip over the Yankee stuff?
No, we can do the Yankees.
Well, I mean, you moved it up to number one. Like that was like number 13 when I went to bed last night.
Greg Allen versus Hoi-Jun Park. No, that was not me.
I would pay money for you guys to fly a plane together.
Why?
Because in Midnight Run, they actually fly a plane. They actually fly a plane together.
Oh, boy. Now I have to watch Midnight Run. I was going to watch it anyway. Now I really have to watch it and see what happens in that scenario. But I imagine if the two of you guys were flying the plane, there'd be a little bit of ambiguity about who the captain was and who the co-pilot was. So you'd both be like adjusting the plane a lot. And the plane would still get where it needs to go, and it would still land safely. I'm very confident in that.
With some laughs along the way.
Yes, there would be hijinks and laughter along the way, for sure.
That's what you want these days. People aren't driving cars anymore. They want to know about Averson Ortega. They want to know about, you know, Marcello. Like, that's what it's about. We're under the radar. We're not Rates and Barrels. Rates and Barrels is what we are. Well, it's the class of the industry, right, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, award winning FSWA. We were nominated. Very nice to be nominated, by the way.
Always nice to be nominated.
Very nice to be nominated for that award. That was really fun. We're gonna hopefully get nominated again this year. That would be pretty fun.
I think they skipped a year. No, FSGA skipped a year. FSW didn't. Yeah, so we can talk Derek Hill then, and we'll get back to the Yankees.
Derek Hill, everybody is sleeping in dynasty leagues, and even maybe to an extent in redraft leagues, on a guy who every time he gets on base, steals second. I mean, he just runs. He runs. Former first-round pick, known for his defense, but he came up, hit home runs, stole bases, then hurts himself, goes out for a couple of weeks. Daz Cameron comes up. He does the same thing. Dez Cameron gets hurt. Derek Hill comes back. And what does he do over the weekend? First two games back, steals two bases. Picked him up everywhere.
He's available in my dynasty league. 1% rostered in the CBS universe.
Under the radar.
The first Derek Hill back on bench. That's the first update on CBS.
Well, no. That's fine. But what I'm saying is he's worth a minor league pickup for sure. Without question. And nobody was picking him up. I was like, why is nobody picking him up? I'm picking him up. Boom.
All right,
got him.
I'm picking him up.
Because then he's a good trade chip, too, you know? If he plays for a couple of weeks and all of a sudden... Like, I just traded yesterday with Rabbi Ari Sunshine. Should give him a sound at this point.
I think you should. What should it be?
I don't know. Who's Baruch
Atadonai? No. Okay. That seems like the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, that's why I said no. That's
but
why
then you still
did it. Nah, I backed off. I backed off. Anyway.
Did you? How much more of that? How longer was that going to go?
I could go far, you know? All right. So, traded Davey Garcia straight up for Charlie Blackmon. And very happy with that trade.
You love Davey Garcia. You gave up Davey Garcia?
I did. Happily gave up Davey Garcia. Because I was thinking of dropping him.
Because he's not coming up?
He's really struggling. And I've got... This is the team I share with Mershak. And basically, Mershak is handling the bottom of our roster. Like, he has full call over, like, the bottom four or five guys. And he's finding so many amazing players. Like, really remarkable. What I was talking about earlier, about this is the season. Like, if you can't do all the research, get yourself a partner like a Robert Mershak. Because he's going to get you the Glenn Ottos. Did we talk about Glenn Otto on the show?
No. Nope.
I don't think so. I don't remember that.
Glenn Otto. You got to pick him up. He's a Yankee pitcher. He's striking out. I mean, DVR, can you pull up his numbers real quick? Because my computer is spinning, which is bizarre.
You want double A or triple A?
I want just what he did this. Can you read the numbers of what this season looks like, please? That's all you need to do.
You know, I want to pick up your guy. I have too many outfielders, though.
Well,
okay.
Should I drop Victor Robles for him?
No.
All right, I'll do it.
No. Glenn Otto is 25 years old. He was at double A to begin the season. Mm-hmm. 3.17 ERA, 0.92 WHIP, 103 Ks and 65 and a third innings. It's 14 Ks per nine, and under two walks per nine. Didn't have a home run issue. He's now at Triple A. Is he? I don't know enough about his arsenal. Is he a good enough pitcher to actually be a back-end starter? I know the numbers are amazing. Or is he actually more of a glue guy reliever for them?
I think he's going to be a starter for them.
Really?
Yep, I do. I do. I'm Glenn Otto. Just pick him up if he's available. Just say that strikeouts to innings ratio one more time, please. And how many walks?
Strikeout to walks is 103 to 14 at double A. The only thing I'm costing people here. He's 25 years old. He's very old for that level.
You okay? All right, I'm not saying break the bank.
But the interesting thing is that command used to be the issue. He always had walk rates basically of 5 and above everywhere he'd pitched. And to be under 2 this year, something may have clicked.
Okay, and that's what I'm always looking for with guys who struggle with command but have some success. Like Robbie Ray coming into the year, I was like, we got to get yourself your Robbie Ray. And if you remember what I said, he had his first start was 28 pitches that day. Remember, I talked about it. And I said, I'm getting Robbie Ray everywhere. You're like, why? He's crazy. I said, because he pitched 28 pitches, 26 for strikes. The stuff has always been remarkable if he finds his command. And I'm not saying Glenn Otto is going to be Robbie Ray, but I'm saying there's a similar story there. And those numbers, they're not high school hitters. These are guys who are getting paid to play baseball. He's going to come up and he's going to be successful.
But Glenn Otto. I mean, Robbie Ray is endlessly frustrating too.
No, he's not. Not now. Not this year. He's endlessly brilliant this year.
Right now, this year. But I mean, like, what happens in a month when he's back up to 4.68 ERA?
I don't know. Okay. There's no way he's up to... Like, this is looking pretty real. He still has a home run problem.
Yeah, but 107 innings, 2.93 ERA, 1.04 whip, 138 strikeouts on 107 innings. How many walks? Like, compared to what he did before?
Yeah, only 27 so far this season.
Right. And that was his main issue. Another guy that's sort of like that is Carson Smith. I wanted to talk about Carson Smith a little bit.
Go ahead, man. So, this is your show. Go ahead.
Sorry. But it's just related because of Arizona in my head. Carson Smith gave up 10 runs last week to, I think it was the Dodgers. And right before the start, I was like, I'm not starting him. Like, I'm a little too scared of that start. And it's in DVR's league. And then I was like, all right, he's pitching. Last night he pitched against the Cardinals. Yeah, the Cardinals, right? No. The Mills play the Cardinals. I forget. No, the Pirates.
Oh, you're talking about Caleb Smith. Not the old Red Sox reliever that got hurt. You're talking about Caleb Smith.
Khan is annoying. Can somebody please write if he calls Carson Caleb Smith? Carson Smith, Maxwell Mayer. It's like just pathetic. Anyway, Caleb Smith.
What's on your mind, man? Is something going on?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Actually, real good. So Caleb Smith, I was thinking about it last night, and I was like, you know what? I like starting guys who have good stuff right after they get blown out, because they're going to spend every day between the blowout and their next start thinking about that first pitch. And like, I'm not going to let that happen again. And that's what was my thinking on Caleb Smith last night. And threw him in there. He threw 6 2/3, got the win. I think he had 8 strikeouts, really pitched well. It's just something to think about sometimes. When a guy that you respect, a guy that you like, sometimes a blow up, the next start is going to be awesome. It's not like, well, he blew up last time, so I'm not going to start him. It's like sometimes if you think about the psychology of the player and you go, that's my kind of player. Like, I believe in that kind of guy. He's tough. I'll put him back in to start. Just something to think about.
Do you want to talk about Jose De Leon getting DFA'd?
Do you?
No.
Oh, got it. Yeah,
I don't want to bring that up.
Oh, shoot. I missed that.
Yeah, right.
What happened?
He was DFA'd. I think from Michael Lorenzen, some garbage like that. But, I mean, you know, Pirates will pick him up. He'll be fine.
Pirates will pick him up.
Lewis Brinson's been recalled, so it's kind of like bittersweet last 24 hours for me.
I get you.
And my daughter learned a new word. So it's been a very bittersweet 24 hours for me.
Well, yeah, it's tough. It's real tough. Oh, also, I just learned I don't have Josiah Gray in Tal Wars. I actually got outbid. I thought I would a nice stealthy little bid on him. And no, Michael Rathburn actually outbid me. So
Rathburn. Yeah, he's doing well.
Fantasy Wrath.
Yep.
The Wrath of Burn.
All right, let's not talk about Jose De Leon.
All right, let's move on from Jose De Leon.
Or that play on words.
You putting Greg Allen, Hoy Jun Park versus Trey Ambergay.
Well, you put Greg Allen in there, and then I'm like, you know,
I put Greg Allen.
If we're going to talk about like a possible starter for the Yankees, might as well, like, Hoy Jun Park is the guy who replaced Tim LaCastro when he got pulled the night before he was out with the ACL, which I don't know if he was injured that night or if it came the next day, whatever. But and we talked about him on the show. You know how we feel about him. And yep, like Trey Ambergy, someone picked him up and he started. He started, I think, at least one game for the Yankees.
And he hit a home run. Is he the one who hit the home run and stole a base in the same game?
He's wearing 97. You know, he's one of those Yankees, you know, Clint Frazier, Aaron Judge, high-numbered cult hero types. So I was just wondering if you'd pick up Greg Allen, you know, within the context of those two.
So in AL Labor, I went to pick up Greg Allen this week. I had him down for a buck, and then he stole another base on Sunday Night Baseball, and I went back and I put down $2. And I was like, God, maybe I need to go three. And Colton and the Wolfman did three.
Jerks.
So oh, and where are you in relation to them in the standings?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? What's the problem? You're the most superstitious guy I know, man.
It's not superstition.
It's amazing.
It's not superstition. I just, DVR and I talked about it, and he's like, yeah, you got to be careful what you say. Like, just shut up, because otherwise you're going to sound... Yeah. So no, nothing to say. Nothing to say. Things are going well in AL Labor.
All right.
It's in pretty good shape.
You lose Greg Allen, who cares, right?
Right. No, it's okay. Yeah. It's not a problem. But I like Greg Allen, and I think here's what I saw for the Yankees. I saw Greg Allen stealing bases. I saw Greg Allen like taking chances. I saw Greg Allen like changing the flavor of the team a little bit, because the Yankees are a boring team to watch. Period. Unless Garrett Cole.
Ambergay's hurt. Never mind. Ambergay hurt his hamstring last night.
Oh no, that was during the game. He did get hurt. He looked like he got hurt too.
Oh man,
looked hurt and he stayed in the game. And it was like, are you serious? Another guy hurt? Like the Yankees are. But I kind of like this Greg Allen pickup. I like Greg Allen. I mean, short term because Judge comes back. I do think the Yankees are going to make a trade for a center fielder. I would not be surprised to see Starling Marte.
Charlie Blackman? Is that why you picked him up?
No. I picked up Charlie Blackman just as a replacement player, just for a couple of weeks. And I think he'll be good next year. I have a feeling. I have a feeling he's going to be good. So I think he's going to have a good comeback, because I think he's going to go into his last year of his contract. I think he's going to play. The other thing was he stole a base this weekend, and it was like, all right, he's deciding. Whenever I see a guy steal a base that he hasn't done in a while, it's his way of saying, I'm changing things up. Like, I want to become like the old player that I was. And Blackman used to steal bases, if you remember. So I just figured. And interestingly, if you remember the Jason Dominguez trade, I traded Charlie Morton and Charlie Blackman at the time for the number one pick and used it on Jason Dominguez. This was like 2.5 years ago. So I got him back for Davey Garcia, and I feel good about that, because Garcia has been pretty trash this year. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but like, he's all screwed up. So he's not somebody who is worthy of a roster spot on this minor league team with 20 spots at this point.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Alcides Escobar.
Is that where you wanted to go?
Yeah, I did. I just want to say for NL-only players.
I do want to think, you want to talk Jaren Duran at some point, or is he too above the radar?
No, no, totally.
I don't know.
Totally,
he doesn't seem like he's under the radar, though, right?
Oh, no, he's still under the radar, and I love all the questions you put in there.
All right, let's talk Alcides Escobar.
Just real quick on Alcides Escobar.
It's a teaser. It's a teaser.
I really kind of wished that I really want to play an NL-only. I love playing AL-only so much because it makes you, like, really go under the radar for guys. And Alcides Escobar is a really good pickup right now in NL-only. Because he can't be too expensive because everyone remembers him as like this no-hit fielder. But like he's just getting stronger. He's getting older. He used to be a speed guy. He hit one out this weekend that was like a shot. He's leading off in front of Turner and Soto. And Soto's insane. And Turner's insane. So it's like, I don't know. I just thought people should, if you're an NL-only, Alcides Escobar. I mean, you could even dare to say in a 20-team, picking up Alcides Escobar as a middle infielder could be in the conversation. DVR, is that nuts?
I don't know if he's going to hit enough, man. I don't know if Alcides Escobar, like, why? If we have so much information on him as a hitter not being good enough, like, even though he's playing a lot, is he going to hit enough to keep that job?
He'll keep that job until, I mean, Castro's out. He's on administrative leave. And they didn't want Luis Garcia. I don't know what's going on there. But he's hitting .316 with an OPS over 800. Yeah, and I know it's early, but
he's old now. Holy cow, he's 34. He's been around forever.
Sometimes that's when they get good.
I can't get on board here. I know playing NL only, I get it. Anyone who's playing, you need him, but they've got to find an upgrade. They've got to find someone more interesting. It's a nice story if he's good. But we're talking about a guy that has well over 5,000 career plate appearances. And he has been almost 30% below a league average hitter for that time. Like, that is,
yeah,
it is remarkable.
I get it. But he's leading off right now for the Nationals. And people grow into something. And he's bigger. He's not as thin. He used to be thinner. It's like he ate some pizza over the pandemic. Good for him.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit more punch to his game. Good for him.
It hasn't helped me.
He's leading off for the Nationals.
I got into some pizza, and it's not helping me the same way it's helping Alcides Escobar.
Apparently not, but boy, it's really helping him. He's hitting the ball. He's seeing the ball. He's in his senior year, right? If we go back to the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, he's an absolute senior. He's been around. He's seen everything. He's like, yeah, I'm not scared. What are you going to do? I'm not scared. I won a championship. I think he won that. I think he won a World Series in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, 05, he had to have been on that team, right? No, yeah. Wait, that was the White Sox, 06?
No. He was on the Hosmer winning team. Hosmer Moustakas winning team.
I know which one. I don't know what year it is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, he's sort of like, you know, it's like that as Drubal Cabrera at the end of his career. You know, it's like, you know, he's worth certainly NL only. I'm picking him up. No question. Love it. Lyle, love it.
He's back, everybody. Let's talk Jaren Duran.
Yes.
DVR. So someone was asking me what I thought of Jaren Duran, and I'm like, he's like a Johnny Damon, like 80% Johnny Damon. And he's like, well, I think he's 80% Jacoby Ellsbury. I'm like, it was our boy Craig in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, isn't that kind of the same thing? But no, I guess not.
I guess not. Yeah, those players are pretty different. I mean,
are they? Like, I think of like 20 homers, 50 steals, maybe.
Ellsbury, I always thought of as more of a top-heavy production guy with that speed ceiling. Damon, maybe a little more balanced, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I think it's funny that every comp for Jaren Duran is a Red Sox player. I think the one they were using on Sunday night was like Trot Nixon. It was like, hey,
yeah, they did.
There are 29 right. other teams worth the players. You could compare them to any of them. That would also work. The thing I see in Jaren Duran is the rapidly increasing power from last year. It's not just the thing that happened in 2021. It happened at the alternate site. I think we could have 2 years where that power would be way up if there had been games last year. I think he did a good job of proving that the growth that was reported last year was real. Obviously, if you go up a level and hit for more power than you've ever shown before, you've changed something for the better. I think there's a chance. I mean, Ellsbury, because of the injuries, it's really hard to know like just how good he would have been over multiple years. And I think people probably have a skewed perception of him because of the contract and the injuries and all that stuff too. But I think Duran has a chance to be, I don't know if he's going to be a first rounder in fantasy at his peak, but he could be a five category player. He could be an early rounder and he could be a fixture in this lineup for a long time because it's a good hit tool. It's growing power. It's legitimate speed. And he's a good center fielder. And I think that ticks every box that you're looking for someone who can max out playing time, especially in a lineup that is good right now and should be good for a while with Devers and Bogarts there as long-term fixtures too.
And JD Martinez is there and Maxwell Mayer's coming. See what I did? Duran hit a home run on Sunday that was deeply impressive. Now, it was all Fulton Awitz, and I've got to talk about this umpire that totally blew a call. But Duran hit one out to left field and it just kept going. My comp for him is Kyle Tucker. What do you think of that?
I don't think we know what Kyle Tucker is yet.
Nah, we kind of know what Kyle Tucker is.
I think the Kyle Tucker comp is, I like that better than the Red Sox comps so far.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was like, he's got length, he's tall, he's thin, he's got, you know, but I like his swing better than I like Kyle Tucker's swing.
There was some Gary Marshall there.
Listen, guys, Gary Marshall is here. He's so exciting now that Afino is my favorite Italian guy. I'm from the Bronx. It's funny because I was just getting text messages from his daughter because we're talking about the TV show.
Have we talked about the TV show on air?
We just did.
All right, great.
I got to bleep that too.
No, you're fine. Jaron Duran is beloved by Alex Cora already. Cora's like, he's up and he's going to stay. Let's hope he can stay up. And that lineup, all of a sudden, you move Verdugo down to 6 and Hunter Renfroe to 7 and Vasquez to 8. I mean, and Ricky Hernandez is killing it at the top of that lineup. They look awesome. Awesome. 2-2 pitch to Fulton. Fulton Awitz on the mound. Curveball right over the center of the plate. 2 outs. Down 2-0. Literally right down the center of the plate. Jonah Heim moves slightly. The umpire blew it. I mean, it wasn't even close. It was strike 3. Next pitch, grand slam. Now he's down 6-0 instead of 2-0 getting out. And I had him going nail labor. He gives up 10 runs in 2 innings. Terrible. Terrible.
Disgusting.
But, you know, I'm ready for the robo umps at this point after that. But you had...
You know what? I thought you were a man of the people. You're going to cost real human being umpires their jobs. You feel good about that?
No. He can still be there. They can still be there, but I don't want it. Here's how I think it should work. I think that they do the robo-ump and that from the dugout, you can check 2 times over the course of a game.
Keep the game moving. That sounds like a great idea.
I don't care about keeping the game moving. I'm trying to come up with a better plan here. So 2 times you can check and it's an immediate check. And it's like, he missed the call. And then you get 2 times to check. If those 2 are right, you get another time to check. And you keep getting every time the umpire gets it wrong. And you use it. I think it should definitely be used because that changed the game. It went from 2-0 to 10-0. It's a big difference. And it was all emotional. Fulton Awitz, I mean, that's it for Fulty for me. Ever. Because he just looked like he didn't want to be out there. And you can't do that. Just can't do that. But who do you have? You had Dynasty. Do you trade Glaber for Duran? That's a very interesting question to me. Do you trade Glaber for Duran, Nando DeFino?
I don't know, man. Like, so I made the mistake of trading away Jaron Duran a couple months ago, not thinking this hot streak in Worcester was for real, like the power. I thought the speed was. And it was a good deal. It was Dynasty League. I got the number 1 pick in the 2023 first-year draft. The guy's first-round pick in the 2023 first-round draft. And Alex Verdugo for George Springer and Jaron Duran. Which, you know, Springer costs a lot of money and Verdugo is like nothing.
Okay.
Keep in mind that, you know.
Yeah, still. Okay, all right.
And I got...
Scott White's league?
No, this is a AL... Oh, by the way, AL only. My bad.
Okay.
Yeah. AL only. You know, whatever. Like, I knew... So it was actually Chad Jennings, our Red Sox writer, who preseason when we asked all the writers, you know, who's a surprise guy on your team? He's the one who turned me on to Jaron Duran in the first place. No one's going to take him, and I took him in the second round of our first-year player draft, whatever, rookie draft. So I was kind of like, all right, you know, I didn't spend a lot of capital to get him, which you can't be thinking, but that's kind of how I was thinking. You know, so I demanded a first-round pick back. You know, I feel okay about it.
Okay. All right. Well, that there we go.
I'm going to rebuild, which I know sending Durant out is the opposite of rebuilding, but I have – it's a nine-keeper league. I already have like 13, so.
Okay. Well, anyway, yes. So yeah, what about Glaber for Durant right now?
I think I want Glaber still, just because the middle infield, I believe in him. I think that he's just in some funk, and I think if the Yankees fire Aaron Boone, which you didn't think was – I don't know. We texted about the Yankees firing Boone, and you seemed you know, iffy about it. But I think if that happens,
I mean,
maybe
can't fire him over COVID. That was the reason.
It's the only team getting COVID in the major leagues.
Yeah, but it's not because Aaron Boone.
Who's it because of then?
It's not. I don't know.
That's an organizational wide problem. Yeah. Like something's going wrong with the protocols, or
they're out of protocols.
The manager should be like, stop screwing around, man. Like after the first one, eight of you somehow got this. Maybe we should chill.
Stop hanging out in the clubhouse.
Poor Nestor Cortes, who's finally getting stretched out.
By the way, Nestor Cortes has been great.
He's been amazing.
Amazing.
He's got amazing minor league numbers.
Yep. There you go. Nando Rufino, folks. No, Nestor Cortes has been my favorite moment. I feel like I talked about this on the show when he did that thing against Ohtani where he like changed his delivery. He's been so great. Okay, for me, Glaber for Duran. Wow. I got to say Glaber still, just based on my dynasty rankings.
You're also a Yankees homer.
I mean, no, but say I don't like Glaber Torres. I really don't.
Where's Duran?
I just don't like
him
as a player.
Speaking of previews.
Well, DVR, why don't you figure that? Why don't you give your answer and then I'll say where Duran is.
Play me off, Johnny. No, I got you.
thank you.
Glaber Torres is 3 months younger than Jaren Duran, and I would say if Torres were also debuting right now, our level of excitement about these two players would be pretty comparable and maybe a tick higher for Torres, depending on what the minor league numbers look like from him. But I mean, with Torres, he hadn't developed a lot of power yet until he reached Double A, I would say, and he wasn't even there very long. So it was so hard to get a sense for what his power ceiling was as a prospect. He was young, age for level. All of this is a way of me saying, I still look at Torres and I have a hard time believing that the lack of power last year and this year, and he's just starting to heat up a little bit right now, I have a hard time believing that that's absolutely who he is now. When he came into the league and hit 62 homers his first two seasons as a 21 and 22-year-old. Yeah, it's a hitter-friendly park, but that's a really good player. This goes back to, you know, the skills that you own, right? You prove you have those skills, you own those skills, that old mantra. He's still so young. He's probably not a shortstop long term. He's probably a second baseman.
Or a third baseman, actually.
But if he's a second baseman, that's fine, too. Like,
actually, he's good as a second baseman.
If he's a good second baseman, he's
fine. Yeah.
Is he that much less valuable? I know he doesn't steal as many bases, but
doesn't steal bases.
Like, he steals some. He's got, what, six this year?
Does he?
Torres has six stolen bases this year. He runs a little. Nah. You'd expect like 6 to 10 in a typical year early in his career, and it's going to probably tail off, right? That's a reasonable expectation. I mean, Ozzie Albies runs more, so Albies is the better long-term player.
Oh, way better. Way better.
But
way better. Not even close.
I don't know, man. I have a hard time burying Torres right now. I still think
I got Torres
could be a top
at 131
50
right now. I got Torres at 131. That may be angry Yankee fan there, but I have him at 131.
Well, the StatCast really numbers are bad. Like it's
I'm watching him. He's bad.
But why is he so different? Why was he so good before? It just seems weird that he could be that good upon arrival and be this bad this quickly.
I saw a bad moment last night for another player that maybe this can open the door to an answer. So Gavin Lux just hurt his hamstring, right? Just hurt his hamstring. So he's going to be out for a little while. I saw him at the game last night. It was Max Muncy hit a home run off of Kevin Gausman in the first inning, right? Bomb. And there's actually a meme of him going around, just the look on Gavin Lux's face where he's just like, what? What kind of a hit was that? That dude looks disheveled. Let's put it that way. He looks like he just woke up. Gavin Lux, like in that picture, like his hair is everywhere. And he just looks like he's like, I'm just here showing up. There's something about early success in baseball that can be dangerous. It's like early success as an actor. and or like, you know, you get the everyone, you're the bonus baby. It takes a certain, it's all about like what's going on inside. That's how I play the game. I'm looking at what's going on in the guy's eyes. Yes, sir.
Did you have early success? I mean, you were in Sex and the City and Dawson's Creek, I think relatively early in your career, and you've talked about how you kind of just showed up and got some jobs. Would you consider that you had early success?
I did. I had really early success at 23.
No one's ever done that.
Two bulls. I bet there's guys who were on both shows. But when I was 23 years old, I was cast as the lead in a pilot for Paramount and ABC that was written and produced by a guy named Glenn Gordon Caron, who actually is the showrunner on Bull Now, which is funny. And he was the showrunner on Moonlighting, the Bruce Willis, Cybill Shepherd show.
I watched that show.
That show was great.
Yeah.
And he was sort of like, you're going to be you're my next Bruce Willis. I'm going to turn you into a star. And you know what? It hurt, actually. It ended up hurting me a little bit early in my career because I was the bonus baby. I was the kid. And it was like, all right, what's he going to do? And I walked around with a little bit of like, do you know who I am? And that doesn't really help, you know? And so that's another story for another time. And I'm sure people aren't interested, but yes, that did set me back a little bit. I think that early, like ridiculous success.
I think Duran for Torres is fair, by the way. I think it's a very fair offer.
Yeah, I think it's close.
And I want to hear this. D'Gard isn't with it. He doesn't like this acting.
He's not wrong.
I would almost base it. I don't want to hear it either. Actually, it's weird to say this. I would almost base it on what you're trying to accomplish. If you're trying to win right now, I'm a little more comfortable with Torres. If you're trying to win in a year or two, then I maybe would skew to the Duran side, which is a bit of a cop-out. But I think that contribution in steals from Duran could make a pretty big difference in the next couple of years. So if you said neutral, I would say slightest of edges to Duran, but I'm not going to talk you out of the Torres side.
Although you have another one on here where you ask Kelenic or Duran, and that's not close for me.
That's
for
Kelenic.
Me, it's Kelenic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta go with the pedigree. The guy's been doing it the whole time in the minor leagues. He's still so young, 21 years old. He's back up. He's still struggling, but, you know, he has... Mets fans know he's going to have a big career ahead of him. I think Duran will too. I mean, it's a very exciting time in baseball because we're seeing lots of great players.
I just wanted to put it into context. You know, like a lot of people, like the hype train on Duran is out of control, I think, a little bit right now. And I guess it's good to ground it a little bit by, you know, bringing in Kelenic, who, you know, got destroyed his first time around. You know, come back up, obviously, you know, it should be fine. Should be great. Should be amazing. But I just didn't know like where they were within context of each other.
This is why it's so dangerous to trade for prospects just on the verge of making it up. So like Vidal Brujan 3 weeks ago was one of the most high priced players you could try to buy. And now he's come up and he struggled. Same with Wander Franco. Like that's why it's like, let them come up because they're going to struggle. They're going to dip. And that's when you can buy them. When the team's like, whoa, I thought I was getting, you know, the next Mike Trout, and it's not Mike Trout. It's like, no, it's not Mike Trout yet, but could be Mike Trout. Not Mike Trout, but could be really good in 2 years. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's about figuring out what's the best time to buy this player.
I just think there's also completely unfair expectations on young players because of the success of other young players. And Wander's got an 86 WRC plus in 18 games. That's actually not failing miserably. There are guys who have been in the big leagues for a long time who post below average WRC pluses and hang around. We're talking about a guy who's 20, just getting his first look at big league pitching, who's showing the early ability to make some adjustments, right? Brujan, I'm a little more concerned about, but that makes sense because Brujan and Wander were not equals in terms of talent and expectations coming into the league. Gavin Lux is a good example, just kind of going back to him for a second. How many big league plate appearances has Gavin Lux had? He got called up in 2019. What's the number?
I'm going to say 472.
Nando?
260.
Ian was almost right on it. 464.
I thought it was a trick question.
Less than a full season's worth of plate appearances, right? He's played in 124 games, and for a stretch of that time, he didn't have a spot to call his own. He's playing more now because Corey Seager's hurt. And he's doing this on a good team where the stakes are pretty high. If he's not hitting, he's not going to play. He was so good level to level, and he was so young level to level coming through the minors, like 40% better than a league average hitter at high A and double A and triple A. Triple A was amazing as a 21-year-old. Like, yeah, sure, 2019 PCL, take it for what it's worth, but he was amazing even compared to everybody else who put up amazing numbers that year. this is exactly the time to buy into Gavin Lux in a long-term league. Keeper league, dynasty league, like with as much confidence as you can have in any player being a good buy low, I think Gavin Lux is a great buy low in those formats. They will have a spot for him long-term. And
I got to do so, I got to do this. I really want to do this. And then I'm going to fight you on it. But first I'm going to do this. Love that one. That was a really good monologue. The timbre of the voice, like all of it, like absolutely threw in some WRC plus in there. Loved every bit of it. He was disheveled, Gavin Lux. I'm not kidding. Like he actually looked like he looked disheveled. You can see, look up right now, Gavin Lux video, and you'll see it on Twitter. And you'll just look at his hair and look at his face.
Oh, I mean,
it concerns me. It concerns, the reason I'm going to say this is there's always this mystery about what happened in 2020 at the beginning of the year. Because he was supposed to play last year, right? In the 60-game season. And no one could figure out. And they're like, he's just not ready. There's something emotional there that gives me pause. The hitting may be great, but there's something emotional there that concerns me. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I own him in, I roster him in a couple of leagues. GDD, we roster him. In Nesson, in DL1, I roster him. I'm not going to trade him. But I'm also not going out and buying him everywhere. Because there's something there that makes me nervous. Just saying. Also, love the. I just want to give you that, dear, because you know you're the man. You know,
there are a lot of screen grabs of Gavin Lux's face. I didn't realize this was such a thing that was happening right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I saw it live because I was watching Kevin Gausman last night because I had him going, and I just, you know, Nando's like, how do you watch all these things? It's like if I've got a pitcher going, I'm going to check him out at the beginning of the game. I'm going to see what he looks like. Right, I want to see that first inning. So I watched and I saw Max Muncy. They were up 3-0. I saw Muncy hit a home run. I was like, "Damn!" So I pressed it and I'm watching, and then I rewound it, and then I saw Lux's face, and that's what I took away from it. I was like, "Wow, look at Lux."
Well, if you look just down the railing in that dugout and look at the face of Cody Bellinger, disheveled, confused, aloof, contemplative. There's lots of words you could use to describe his face too. Like I think not a huge fan of him.
Like
there's
either.
I think we're walking a fine line with Gavin Lux between body language and how his face just looks. And I think
body language matters.
I think it does
so much.
I think
on a baseball field.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I think some of this is just the way this man's face looks. Like it just has odd expressions on it.
It's a pretty funny face, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
I don't want to say what I thought of it, but
no, it's definitely, he's got some odd expressions for sure. But
it's a pretty odd expression.
I don't know if this is like, you can see failure and you can see fear and you can see different reactions in people. Like I believe that. I believe that's something you analyze probably better than anybody out there. The pictures of Lux, though, like these are more like memes. They're just like, oh, wow.
I understand.
Like, it's similar to the Bellinger with like atoms and numbers flying around his head because he's thinking about the time-space continuum and the meaning of life. Like just like another faction of that line of thinking.
No, look this up. Look up this picture.
All right.
Look it up real quick.
What did you look up?
Exactly. Just put up Gavin Lux. It'll show up.
Gavin Lux. Got it. Images.
No. You got to go to Twitter. Just put in Gavin Lux Twitter.
Well, you didn't say put Twitter in there.
Sorry. Gavin Lux Twitter.
I do think, though, with this injury, by the way, in shallow redrafts, I think you got to cut him loose. I don't think you want to wait it out in leagues without IL spots. As much as I like him long term, like a 12-team league, you can't wait on Lux right now because Seager's going to come back. The playing time is going to come down. And yeah, what could happen in the final 2 months from him or a month and a half when he gets back could be useful, but just try to pick him up again at the time. Don't nurse him back to health from your IL spots because
roster spots are precious. But if you have a free IL spot, he's not a bad guy to
Right,
stash.
Right. But I'm just saying, like especially in NFBC leagues, you can't keep everybody, and he hasn't done enough to justify keeping him on those 12-teamers especially.
Although, when do
I
you pick up
That's
Tyler?
Fantastic.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm just saying, he's. What does it look like to you?
What do you mean?
I mean, just disheveled? Is disheveled a good... it's not his hair, because
he's just making strange faces.
He's making faces, that's all. He's like in LA.
Disheveled is just like unkempt facial hair and a bad haircut. Okay. He's just making funny faces.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'll leave it at that.
Ian used to live in LA, man. You got to get out there, get noticed, right?
You know, you don't really need to get out there. You don't really need to get noticed.
It's all the personal brand.
It's. I guess. I guess. Are there a couple more guys? Oh, Adam Engel should be discussed.
Well, we're about an hour. I just want to make sure that we're good.
I'm good. I have no out. I'm in. DVR has a bit of an out. DVR is doing some work.
I got a call at 12:30.
All right. Well, we're fine until DVR says we gotta go, guys.
We got time for one more.
Okay, Adam Engel and Bradley Zimmer, two guys who should be rostered, I believe, in 15-team leagues right now. Bradley Zimmer hit his first home run of the season. He was leading off for the first time. Cesar Hernandez was out of the lineup, and Bradley Zimmer went to the top. He was the 28th pick in the 2015 draft, I want to say, and he's always had the pedigree. He's got speed. He's a similar Kyle Tucker, and he doesn't have the power of Kyle Tucker, but he runs really fast. I know that the Indians would love to have him catch on. I had an interesting question in Tout Wars whether I would drop Ryan Weathers or drop Bradley Zimmer on Wednesday night. And I said, you know what? What are the chances that Bradley Zimmer is going to like hit a home run and steal two bases over the weekend? I'd rather hold Weathers so I can have him. He's going to go to the DL. He hasn't gone to the DL yet, IL, whatever. And then what does Bradley Zimmer do? He hits a home run and steals two bases. So I went back and paid $44 to get him back. And Adam Engel is pretty much playing every day. He's got five home runs already, stealing some bases. It looks like he's going to be an everyday player until Louis Robert comes back late in September. So as you get to this part of the season, this is when all of a sudden it's like, wait, I don't have enough outfielders, you know? And Adam Engel is a good replacement player, and Bradley Zimmer also in 15-team leagues. Not necessarily 12, but 15-team leagues.
I used to confuse Zimmer and Clint Frazier. I guess they're coming up together in the Indians organizations.
They were.
Organization
also,
mates.
If by some chance Willy Peralta is still on your waiver wire.
We just did this last week.
But then he pitched again. And he rocked again. Seven innings, I think. Four strikeouts. Four walks. Four hits. No runs. Get the win. He's for real.
Is our guy going to start missing some more bats, though? That's the biggest concern I have right now. I love the split change, but is he going to strike guys out?
Maybe not, but neither is Chris Flexen, who also had another great start. Now, yes, did you put in there the new Joe Ross on Chris Flexen? No, he's not.
No, DVR remotely. Definitely wrote that.
Oh, was he? Chris Flexen is not Joe Ross because Joe Ross is the boom or bust kind of guy. Flexen just seems to miss. He just makes teams make bad contact. He just looks so good. Oh my God, he's so good. He's been great. So these are your under-the-radar guys that if they're still available in your... I would guess that Chris Flexen's still available in a 12-team league, and I would advocate picking him up in a 12-team, certainly in a 15, guaranteed. And Willy Peralta, 12-team league, you pick him up now. That's enough. Pick him up.
All right. 12. Whew. I think he's a streamer. He's a streamer in those shallow leagues because the K rate's not high enough.
Yeah, okay. But he's... Look at his last five starts. Look at his last six starts. Hold on. I'm gonna do this at this point. I'm a Willy Peralta truther. I own him in every single league.
I can't believe this is a sentence being spoken in July of 2021. I mean, it makes me kind of happy because I always wanted him to be good, but I'm amazed.
Read him out.
This
read out
happening.
His last. Go ahead. Read out. What does it look like to you?
I'm looking at his upcoming schedule. He's at Minnesota next week. He's got Kansas City coming up at the end of the week. Use him for that in daily leagues. Pick him up, stream him. Great. At Minnesota. And I got to go use beyond him. That. He doesn't get Baltimore. He'll miss Baltimore.
It's too bad.
I got to look at I was looking at the RotoWire grid, which is very helpful, but the 14-day view cuts off. So
I'm not saying.
To strike out more guys than he's striking out to be
but you get wins
steadily rostered.
You're
not going to use him against the Red Sox. He's got the Red Sox the week after that. He's at Cleveland if he makes a second start
that
week.
I'm good with that. I'll start him in Cleveland.
Then he gets Cleveland again at home.
I'm good with that. Oh, totally good with that.
Then he would get Toronto, which you're not going to use him there.
Nah, probably not.
Then he gets Toronto again. Nice schedule, baseball.
That's
what
not good.
Are they repeating?
Will that be Toronto and Toronto, though? I mean, they're going to change things a little bit.
It'd be home the first time and road. Wait, road that'd first time, home second time.
Well, I mean, actually Toronto.
I think that would actually be Toronto,
Do you start Willy Peralta against Toronto? Probably not.
No. No, no, no.
Toronto's really good.
No.
Toronto's really good. Boston's really good. Yankees are trash.
He's a deep league streamer, and if your ratios don't matter anymore and you're just chasing volume, then you can stream him in a more shallow
league. No, that's the opposite. His ratios, he's killing on the ratios, DVR.
You think he's going to keep being this good with his ratios, though?
I mean, I'm watching him. He's got a 1.64 ERA and a 0.94 whip.
He's got a 187 BABIP and a 90% left on base percentage right now.
Yeah.
And he's yielding a crap load of contact. This is going to, if you want to see a pitcher catch fire, you want to see another Fulton-Evich situation, watch him pitch against those good teams.
Okay, fine. So take my excitement about Willy Peralta and DVR's caution about Willy Peralta, merge them into picking up Willy Peralta and having real wise eyes towards it. Just maybe not against him, maybe stick him on your bench. You know, look, sometimes I'm wrong, for sure. Ross Stripling gave up 6 runs last night in 3 2/3.
Well, I don't know. What spot are you in AL labor right now? I mean, this is, you're taking advice from a guy in first?
Yeah, I got a pretty big lead in AL labor right now.
Ian Khan is saying get Willy Peralta against all logic and reason that we've learned during Willy Peralta's career. I'd listen to him.
Well, but again, I also tell you to pick up Joe Ross, and then he gives up 10. So, like, you know, use your own judgment. I'll tell you, I'm rolling Willy Peralta out this week. I sat Ross Stripling in a number of leagues, but he did hurt me last night in TGFBI pretty bad.
And Willy Peralta is 2 months younger than Gleyber Torres, which I find interesting.
Also, though, I used Ohtani in TGFBI as a pitcher this week. Did you do that, DVR? Did you use him as a pitcher anyway? Because I have Ohtani everywhere. Not in AL labor, oddly, but I have Ohtani in all these other places. And this past week in TGFBI, because he's pitching twice, I was like, you know what? We need the pitching, going pitching. I put him in, and I put Jamer Candelario into the util spot. And boy, did he look good last night. Oh my God, is he so much fun. This is Shohei Ohtani. Just love it. Lyle, love it.
That's what we're waiting for.
All right. And I've got grass people. So it's about to get loud around here.
Oh, we got to go anyway.
Yeah.
You don't call them the gardeners?
They're the gardeners.
I have
the gardeners are here.
I have water leaf scoopers, or do you have pool guy?
No pool guy. There's no pool. If there was a pool, I'd invite you with the babies so I can curse in front
of
them.
Yeah, they're coming nowhere near you.
Yeah, for the man.
By the way, I'm up in upstate, obviously. And you guys got to let me know. Like, I'm going to go to the rhubarb store.
I would like 6 bottles.
I could do that.
I would like 6 bottles of rhubarb.
All right. DVR? Diver?
I will pass on this order. I'm in a position where glass especially is not my friend, moving across the country in chaos right now. So I'm okay for now.
I should call Dr. Thomas Scott. I should text him, see if he wants to.
I spoke to him, Dr. Thomas Scott, last night because I was talking to him about a trade that we might make in Mackey.
You don't talk to him about him anymore on the show.
You know, Dr. Thomas Scott has been pretty busy these days. It's been hard to get him on the phone. But great guy. Love him. Great guy.
Sounds like he's blowing you off on stuff.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
A lot of calls going to voicemail.
A lot of calls going to voicemail.
All right, we got
to
go.
All right.
For the man who will be ghostwriting future bestseller, The Alcides Escobar Diet, Darren Riba.
Yeah, all pizza. It doesn't work for me, but it works for him.
All the time. For the man whose call you should never pick up on Bluetooth while driving 4 hours with the children in the car, Ian Khan.
That is me. My apologies.
Thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Go get your Willy Peraltas before it's too late. We'll see you later.
Good talk. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.